I wonder if you've ever heard this saying. Patience is a virtue. Grasp it if you can. Seldom found in women, never found in man. When I was growing up, we used to change that. It used to be never found in women, seldom found in men, because, you know, I'm a man, that's what we do. But it's an interesting saying, isn't it? And we think, what is patience? It gets me thinking, is patience something that I have to work to develop? Is it something that I can, as a man, I can sort of try and work it out? It might never be found in me, but I can work, I can do better. And I look at people and I think, they are incredibly patient. I sometimes don't get how teachers can be so patient when they're going through the same things again and again, week in, week out, and the troublesome children are being troublesome again. I'm sure they'd probably go home and tear their hair out. But in that moment, they seem very patient. But what actually does it mean? Is patience just being really patient with that learner driver in front of you trying to get out of the roundabout that has stalled for the 15th time? Is it not rushing through those traffic lights when you see them changing up ahead because you're in a hurry, because you want to get somewhere? Is it when you're walking through London and you get really annoyed when the tourists stop and take pictures of absolutely everything? Is that the opposite of patience? Or is it when you're listening to somebody go on and on in this really long story and they never seem to get to the point and you're just going, come on, this is really interesting, but I've got somewhere else to be. Maybe you feel like that on a Sunday morning when you're trying to rush around and somebody keeps talking to you. Are you being patient by listening to them? Is it all sorts of things? And it is, and it isn't. And that doesn't really make sense as an answer, but patience is all of those things. It's bearing with one another. It's not getting angry. It's all that kind of thing. And it's also none of those things, because there is more to patience than that. You see, a lot of those things are things that we could work hard to not do. We can really try hard not to get grumpy at that learner driver. As my driving instructor told me, nobody should be grumpy because everybody was a learner once. It doesn't stop you from being grumpy when you get stuck behind them, but it's something we can work on. When you get grumpy by those tourists or by those people who walk really slowly down the city centre when you're just trying to get through, you can learn to bear with them because, you know, perhaps they're enjoying their holiday. All sorts of things like that. And maybe this evening you saw on the notices that we were going to be looking at patience and you thought, great, I'm going to come because that's something I really need some help with. And I hope Matt's going to have some really helpful tips and he's going to be really incisive and I'm going to go away and I'm going to be more patient and I'm not going to get grumpy with my children when they don't do what they're told. And that'd be great, wouldn't it? But I'm afraid I haven't got a list of things that you can go away and do. I haven't got this sort of the cheat sheet. I haven't got some life hacks to try and get you to know how you can be more patient. Because I want to slightly focus on something else. I don't want to focus on our patience. In fact, I want to focus on God's patience. Because as we look at these aren't the fruits of my spirit. These are the fruits of God's spirit, and it is in him that we get them. They are parts of his character that we have the joy to share in when we become his. See, this fruit of patience isn't something that we can turn on or off. It's not something that somebody has and somebody else doesn't have, because if we're a Christian, we all have the fruit of the spirit. Perhaps in some of us, it might be a little germinating seed of patience. In other people, it might be a great big cedar of patience. But it's all growing in each of us. And to do that, we need God's help. And we need God, as we sung this morning, to give us that strength to do it. Because that strength comes from God and it will rise as we wait on him. So I'm going to start by looking at what is God's patience. How is God patient, and what does that mean? So turn back to 2 Peter, where we started in our readings. 2 Peter 3, that's page 1224 in your Bibles. And I'm just going to read verses 8 and 9 again. Peter writes this: "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God's patience is based on repentance. God's patience is all based, actually, on the judgment that is to come. As we read, if we just look in verse 7, Peter is talking about the destruction of the world. "By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." You see, God's patience is all based around the judgment that is to come. We don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be like a thief, Peter writes, but we know that it's going to come. God's judgment is coming. Jesus said it when he was on earth. Peter is writing about it. We read it throughout the Bible. And I think that when Peter was writing, he was writing to dispersed Christians across that sort of ancient world. And they were going through a pretty rough time. They were sort of wishing that things would come to an end because God had promised that it's going to happen. They're facing persecution left, right, and center. And they're wondering, when is it going to end? They were probably starting to doubt that it was going to happen because God has said it was going to happen and it wasn't happening yet. Perhaps they were doubting doubting God's power. Perhaps that they were doubting that he isn't actually going to keep this word. They're just going to come and they're just going to have to face this persecution and get on with it. See, it's a bit like a journey. I had this the other weekend. I was traveling up north to Yorkshire and I looked at my sat nav and it said, "I've got 60 miles left to travel. Excellent. And it's going to take me 2.5 hours. What? How can 2.5 hours, 60 miles, it doesn't work? And it's not right. It seems like it's going to take too long and it's not working out. Or maybe you're waiting to go out, but your mum is still in the bathroom putting the finishing touches to her makeup and her hair and her perfume. Because that's what it was like for me. Mum always used to say, "Right, we're going to leave at 9:45 to get to church on time." We never did. It was normally sort of 10 o'clock and we were always running late. We'd never be on time. And I would get so frustrated because my mom hadn't done what she'd said. She said we were going to leave and we didn't. But God isn't slow like that. He's not slow in getting ready. He doesn't need to put his makeup on. He doesn't need to get from one place to another. You see, God doesn't say one thing and mean something else. What God says, he means. And partly that's because to God, time is different than it is to us. That's what Peter says in verse 8. 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years. To us, time can seem like it's dragging on, but to God, he's outside of time. So for him, in terms of his slowness, or what we think of his slowness, it's not, because God is acting in his time. God has promised that he will do it, and he will do it. You see, God is patient. And God is waiting. He is waiting for something. Verse 8, God is waiting for you. He is waiting for me. He is waiting for the world. Because he wants people to repent. He knows that the day of judgment is coming. But he also loves the world. And it's a world that he loves that he doesn't want to just destroy in judgment. He wants to save people. So God is patient. And his patience, as we saw back when we started these fruits, and Derek was talking about love, he read that verse, love is patient, love is kind, and all those kind of things. Patience starts with love. You see, God so loved the world, Jesus tells us, that he sent his only son. You see, God is patient because he loves us. God is waiting until we're ready. He's not angry. He's not just punishing people left, right, and center for disobeying him, even though that's what we deserve. And we realize this time and time again. Whenever I gather around the communion table, I just remember how useless I am, how many times I mess up in a week. But God is patient with me. God, time and time again, says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." God, time and time again, asks us to repent and forgives us. Time and time again, God is patient with us. He wants us to repent. He wants the world to repent. And that patience is our salvation. That's what Peter says at the end of what we read earlier. He said in verse 15, the Lord's patience means salvation. God is patient with the world to save it, but his promise of judgment will be fulfilled. That is what God promises time and time again. He keeps his promises, and it's going to happen. God won't keep putting it off. It's going to happen at a time we don't know, at a time we're not ready for. In God's time, it will happen. We just have to make sure that we are ready. We have to make sure that we are telling those people that God is waiting for so that they're ready. That is what God has given us. That is the task that, one of the tasks that God has given us, is to go and seek and save the lost, just like he has done. He wants us to be part of that in his name. Are we ready for God's judgment? It's coming. He's patient. He wants to save, but his judgment is coming. And his patience is based on his love. And that love is ultimately shown in one person, isn't it? It's ultimately shown in Jesus on the cross. And there's a massive example of this that we read about in 1 Timothy. So turn back with me, if you're able to 1 Timothy. That's page 1191. And Paul shows us in real terms what God's patience means. You see, God's love and his patience is ultimately shown by sending his son to die on the cross for sinners. And you might think, oh, that's great. And then we read about Paul. Paul is the Jew of Jews. He knew his Torah inside out. He'd been to all the good Jewish schools. He was the one who was going around persecuting the Christians because he was the best Jew. If there was a prize for being number one Jew, Paul would have got it. He was the Jew of Jews. And he was so sure that he was right that he went around for years persecuting Christians. We first read about him at the stoning of Stephen, and it keeps going on. Yet in Timothy, Paul says this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is verse 15, of whom I am the worst. Paul was a proper bad egg. He was as bad as it comes. Yet, he wasn't beyond God's grace and salvation. If it was me, I would have gone, no, he's not good enough. He doesn't deserve it. He's too bad. He's the one who is punishing Christians. He's the one who's going around persecuting Christians. There's no way that he is good enough for God. Yet, Paul said that God showed his patience in him. He didn't write him off. He didn't ignore him. And if God can wait to save Paul, that person who was so vehement in his attacks on Christians, how much more will he save anybody else? Who are we to write people off who God is going to be patient with? Who are we to do that? Because God is the one who is patient. So we need to be aware of God's patience, how God is patient with us, first and foremost, but also how he's patient with the lost, everybody around us. God's patience isn't getting angry, even though we deserve it. It's not lashing out, but it's giving us that chance. It's giving the world the chance to turn to him. And it's based on his love in Christ. And in God's patience, it is our salvation. So that is God's patience. That is what I wanted to start off with, because it's really important if we think about this fruit that God puts in us, that he grows in us, is that patience with the lost. It's that patience to save lost people. It's that patience, as we were praying through there, Reg said, it's almost like, for us, it's an impatience to save the lost. We need to have God's patience, but we need to be impatient as we're going out telling people of God's love for them. Because it's only in God's patience that salvation can be found. But there's also an aspect of how can we be patient? Yes, we can be patient with the lost, but we can't save them. That's God's work. But there is an aspect of the patience that I think is really helpful for us to look at. So turn with me to Psalm 37. This is a psalm of David. David, that great king who wrote some great songs, who was the leader of God's people, who grew his country into a massive country. In God's, he was a mess up, but in God's strength, he did it. But he also had some pretty hard times. We think about the times when he hid in a cave hiding from Saul, or when his son was out to get him. All of those things. And David has these words to write to us. Let me read just verse 7 for you again. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when he carry out their evil schemes. You see, Paul, in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of all of those attacks that he is facing, all the troubled times that he is going through, he has this word of wisdom. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. God is still in control. God is a God who keeps his promise. God is everlasting. But the wicked, what's their end? In verse 2, well, they're going to wither like the grass, like the plants. They will soon die away. But Paul says, wait patiently on God. Why? Because he's trustworthy. Because he's the God who keeps his promise. Because, as we've just seen, God is the God who is infinitely patient with us, who loves us so much to send his son. So we can be patient with God. When everything seems to be going wrong for us, we can trust God. That is what our patience ultimately leads to. It leads to us being patient with God, not getting angry at God when things don't seem to go our way, not worrying overly when everything seems to be going wrong, but it's trusting in God. And it's not just a passive thing. Being patient with God, trusting in him, isn't just sitting back and letting the world wash by past us. If we look through some of those verses, we see that it's actually quite an active thing to do. Paul says things like, trust God, commit our ways to him, delight in God, do good. You see, God's patience is based on his love for us. But we can delight in God, we can trust in him, we can do all that based on his love for us. Because we know that he has been patient with us. Because we know that he first loved us. We know that he's trustworthy. We know that he's forgiving. We know that he is this loving God. And so we know that he is there for us. When the world seems to get too much, when life seems to go too hard, we can count on God because he's there for us. When it seems everything is a battle, when it seems that God's people are under attack, when it seems like the world is out to get us, we don't just sit in the middle of the road like a rabbit in front of headlights. We can trust God. We wait patiently for him, but we still delight in him. We still do his work. We commit our ways to him. Because God keeps his promises. Because God loves us. You see, God's patience is all based on his love. Our patience should also be based on his love. And as we are patient with God, as we learn more about God, as we love God more, so we will start to love other people more. So we will start to be patient with other people more. We'll be patient in the way that God is patient. We'll be seeking those who are lost, and we'll be sharing the salvation of God's patience with them. And I said at the start, I wasn't going to give you a life hack or a list of ways that you can be more patient. But I have got one tip. I have got one thing, one guiding point and principle, which God has been growing in me this last 6 months or so. And it's one that he is still growing in me and will still continue to grow in me, because this is a fruit. The more we love God, the more we will be patient. It doesn't sound like a mind-blowing tip, but it's sort of blown my mind, really. The more I love God, the more I am patient with people who annoy me. The more I love God, the less likely I am to get grumpy with the learner who's just stalled in front of me for the 15th time when I'm trying to get out of the traffic lights. The more I love God, the less likely I'm going to get annoyed at my children when they don't do what I said. Because as my love for God grows, my love for for other people grow. I start to love what God loves. And so as I love God more, as I read more about him, as I delight in him, as I trust in him, as I commit my ways to him, I start to love him more. I become more like him. And he is growing in us that fruit of love, which leads to joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, graciousness, faithfulness, and self-control. They all start with love. So perhaps, instead of rushing through your busy lunchtimes, getting annoyed at the tourists or the slow people in front of you on the street, don't tut at them. Think about how you can love them. It doesn't mean you have to go and just hug the tourist. I think they might find that a bit weird. But is it loving to honk your horn at that learner driver? Or do you just give them a little bit of space? Is it loving to try and get in all of the tourists' photos because they're getting in your way? No, you sort of let them enjoy their holiday. Is it loving to get angry at your children when they have done the same thing wrong again and again and again? Not really. But we can love them and we can show them in love why that is annoying. But what about our brothers and sisters? Because sometimes at church, I'm sure there are those people who perhaps you cannot be very patient with. And it's something that I struggle with. But Paul writes in Ephesians, be patient, bearing with one another, not through gritted teeth, but in love. You see, this is what unites us all here this evening. We might be young, we might be old, we might be male, we might be female, we might have been born in England, we might have been born in Azerbaijan. There's one thing that unites us, and that is that God loves us, that God has shown his patience in all of us and shown us that we are his people, that he has taken us, those sinners who don't deserve his goodness, and he has given us the way of salvation through his love, through his son. He has made us his. He has given us his spirit, and in his spirit, he is growing in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We can't do it on our own. We can only do it through the one who has given it to us. With God's strength and guidance, he will grow our love and therefore our patience. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. Lord God, you love us even though we are unlovely. You love the world even though it rebels against you. I thank you that you love us, that you have taken me, the worst of sinners, and have made me yours, that you are making me more like you each and every day. And I just pray this evening that you would thrill our hearts with that thought, that we would go away inspired to love you more. And as we love you more, that you would help us to love people like you love people. Amen.